morning. It's great to see everyone. Go ahead, I'm turning your Bibles to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes. Next week, we're going to be having a guest speaker. Our brother Scott Chase is going to be coming up from Macon, Georgia. And he's going to be our guest speaker next week. Amen. Let's be praying about that and inviting our friends. It's going to be a great Sunday. Also, I'd like to go ahead and introduce a brother who's visiting. Right now, he's stationed in Haiti, but he's in the church in Monrovia, in Liberia. I've known him for many, many years. The last time I spoke to him was about 8 years ago, and he was taking care of the disciples up in Chad. Brother James Tondo is here. Go ahead, brother, stand up. He's working at the UN, helping out in Haiti right now. Welcome to Atlanta. You know, last week I started talking about God keeping His promises. And we started looking at the fact that everything started, in a sense, from Genesis 12, from the promises God made to Abraham. God told Abraham that I will make your name great and I will bless you. And then at the end, he talks about how all nations on earth will be blessed through you. And I started making the point that God never promised that all this stuff was going to happen at once. If anything, the contrary is true. A lot of times when we read God's word and we see God's promises, those promises are true. Those promises will come to pass at some point. But God never said that it's going to happen today. Are you with me? You know, sometimes, you know, disciples, you know, hey, bro, how you doing? I'm not feeling too good right now. What's going on? You know, I've been a disciple for 20 years, and I'm still single. And I'm listening. I'm like, you know, God did say here that if I delight myself in Him, He will give me the desires of my heart. I said, yeah, that is still true. But how come it hasn't happened yet? It's been 20 years for me. I said, well, you're going to have to ask God on that one. Because that scripture is still true. But God never said, you know, I'm going to do it today or I'm going to do it next week. Are you with me? And that's kind of what I want to talk about this morning, because I think we need to look at this angle, because God is never in a hurry. He exists above time. You and I live by time. You and I are controlled by time. We're in a hurry to get to work. We're in a hurry to get to church. We're in a hurry to go places. Guess what? God has never been in a hurry. Why? Because He exists above time. Are you with me? And one of the things we need to learn as Christians, as we continue to talk about God's promises, is that, you know what? God is not in a hurry. And what we need to do and learn to do is, while we wait, is wait patiently and wait faithfully. Because all those promises will come to pass. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1. A passage we're very familiar with, but I want us to start there. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1. It says, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. God controls that one. Are you with me? Your parents don't control it. You don't control it. That one is entirely up to the Lord. Now the rest of it is up to us. A time to plant and a time to uproot. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. And it goes on. Are you with me? The point is, God is saying, you know what? There's a time for everything. Amen? This is one of the, to me, hardest things we need to accept as children of God. Because a lot of times we think, you know, now is not the time. God, why am I going through this? Personally, the last 4 weeks for me has been terrible. But you see, I can't question God. I can't ask, why is this going on? Why am I going through this? It can't be that way, because there's a time for everything. Are you with me? It's a hard lesson, but we all need to learn it. The challenge for us is to be patient and to be faithful. Because God brings about everything in His own time. And the church said amen on that one. He brings about everything in His time. Believe it or not, He's got His timetable. Just like you've got yours. And guess what? I've learned something in 49 years of being on this earth. He's not going to change His. No matter how much I pray, no matter how much I moan, no matter how much I laugh, He's not going to change His. And so all I need to do is get in step with what He's trying to do. Are you with me? Because He's not going to change His timetable. He's never in a hurry. Now, let's go back to Genesis 15 and pick up the story. God has made the promise to Abraham. And then He tells him something very, very interesting. In Genesis chapter 15, in verse 12, it says, as the sun was setting, Abram fell into a deep sleep, and a thick and dreadful darkness came over him. Then the Lord said to him, know for certain that your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. But I will punish the nation they serve as slaves, and afterward they will come out with great possessions. You, however, will go to your fathers in peace and be buried at a good old age. In the fourth generation, your descendants will come back here, for the sin of the Amorites has not yet reached its full measure. I mean, remember in chapter 12, he just made Abraham all these incredible promises. He says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And then he finally says, all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Hello! Before all that stuff happens, God says, you know what? There's going to be some problems. As a matter of fact, let me tell you ahead of time. You don't see too many of these in the scriptures, where God will tell you what's going to happen in the future. There are very few instances. That's why they're called prophecies. Are you with me? But God tells Abraham what's going to happen to his descendants. He says they're going to be enslaved. 400 years, that's a long time. 400 years. America is not that old. Okay, and tomorrow we celebrate independence. America is not that old. But it tells him, you know what, for 400 years, your descendants are going to be mistreated. What was God saying? Things are going to get worse before they get better. And to me, the amazing thing is, all these things would not change what God had promised. Despite all the hardships, and the headaches they were going to go through, all the challenges they were going to face, it wasn't going to be easy. Things were going to get rough. And notice, Abraham did not try to argue with God. He didn't say, God, explain this to me. What do you mean? You just told me, you know, I'm going to be the father of many. Why would you let this happen? None of that. He just accepted it. We know that from Hebrews 11, verse 11, because the Bible tells us that Abraham considered him faithful who made the promise. Are you with me? But you see, what happens a lot of times with us is, you know, God promises us different things in His Word, but when we start facing challenges, we start getting down, we start getting discouraged, we start doubting. We wonder if God is really there, or is really, you know, on our side. And it shouldn't be that way. Are you with me? If you and I understand this concept, that He's not in a hurry. His promises will come to pass at the right time. Are you listening to me? Now, you may try and speed it up, but you're going to mess it up. Write this verse down. Psalm 145, verse 13. It simply says, God is faithful to all his promises. And he's made a lot of promises in this book. A lot. Amen? He's made a lot of promises. And it says in Psalm 145, verse 13, that he's faithful to all of them. Not just some. Not just a few. Not 98%. Everything. Amen, church? You and I can take that to the bank. We can live on that. We can be secure in that. Amen? Now, look at this. I want you to look at the sequence of events here. Because I think this is very, very critical. First of all, you know, after God made that promise to Abraham, something happened. There was a severe famine, the Bible tells us. So he had to leave, and he went to Egypt. Then, shortly after that, Abraham and Lot separate. Lot wanted a nice, fertile area, and he left, and he took it. Can you imagine how Abraham must have felt when that happened? Then after that, he had to go back and rescue the guy. Then the birth of Ishmael in chapter 18. Then the birth of Isaac in chapter 21. Then Abraham is tested. You know this. When God said, you know, that only son that I've now given you, that you had when you were 100, I want you to go kill him. And Abraham obeyed and went. He didn't question God. Because what? He considered him faithful who made the promise. The Bible says Abraham reasoned that God could raise the dead. Remember, he was meant to go take him and burn him up. And he reasoned that, you know what, even after I burn him up, God can raise him up. Are you with me? Church, this is the same God that you and I serve today. The same God of Abraham, the same God of Isaac, the same God of Jacob. He hasn't changed. That's why there needs to be a bounce in your step. Because he always keeps his promises, regardless of what's going on. Then after that, Abraham dies in 25. Chapter 25. You've already, at least hopefully. Okay? It doesn't get any easier. Things keep happening. Okay. Then we know about the 12 patriarchs. Okay? Isaac to Jacob. Jacob have 12 sons. They're called the 12 patriarchs. They formed the 12 tribes of Israel. Simeon, Issachar, Zebulun. All those guys. Okay? That would be a good test question. Can you name the 12 tribes of Israel? You should be able to. Amen? Then, Joseph. One of his younger sons. He started dreaming. God started showing him some stuff about the future. He said, hey guys. He looks at his brothers one day. Imagine this little teenager looking at the older brother. Hey guys, I had this dream. Oh really? Tell us about the dream. You are not going to believe what happened. All you guys are bowing down to me. You want to smack them. I mean, think about it. We laugh about it. Now, obviously, that was what he dreamt. But they didn't take it too kindly. And as a result of that, what did they do? They sold him into slavery. They said, oh, really? Okay, let's see how that's going to happen. We're going to sell you. And that's exactly what they did. He sold him into slavery. He's falsely accused by the wife of Potiphar. You all know the story. Later on, he's forgotten in jail. And then he becomes the number 2 in Egypt. Jacob, Israel, same person. Now they go settle in Egypt. While they're there, the Israelites multiply greatly. All these events had to happen for these promises to be fulfilled. Are you with me? Okay? It keeps going. Then they're enslaved and mistreated in Egypt. That 400 years had to come from somewhere. Pharaoh said, you know what, these guys are getting too large. Let's start getting rid of the firstborn. And it's amazing to me, during that time, is when God decides, you know what, the guy who's going to deliver them, that's when I'm going to bring him into this world. I've always wondered, how could he do it some other time? But that's not the way God operates. Because God is going to show you and I who's really God. Amen? And that's exactly what he did. During the height of this persecution, that's when Moses is born. Okay? We see the birth of Moses. He spends 40 years in Egypt. A lot of us, we're not even 40 yet. Another 40 years in exile. You do the math. When God showed up to him in the burning bush, he was 80 years old. The Bible tells us. Again, in scripture, I don't see people retiring. You know, people often ask me sometimes, are you going to retire? Are you kidding me? Retire from what? From life? The only time I'm going to, quote unquote, retire from this pulpit is when I'm in a box. Are you listening to me? And I can't say anything anymore. Then you retire me. Amen? But I'm not going to retire. Because a lot of people you see in the scriptures, God chose them when you are much older to do awesome things. And that's why you and I can always believe that, you know what, the best is yet to come. You know, in our world, people say, 40 is midlife or 50 is midlife. I don't buy that. I'm just getting started. You know why I feel that way? Okay, I don't have the energy I used to have when I was 25. But guess what? Right now, I'm older. I'm wiser. I got some money in my pocket. At 25, I didn't. But there's a lot I can do for God. There's a lot you can do for God. And I think sometimes, you know, we buy into this world that says, you know, oh yeah, you're 45, you're 50, you need to start slowing down. Slowing down doing what? You've got to have something, obviously, that you're always aiming for. Amen? Studies have been done that people that retire because they no longer have a purpose, they no longer have a vision, they die. You've got to have something that you're shooting for. Amen? I know there are a lot of brothers in this room that are over 40. What are you going to do with your life in the next 20 years? Is that something you think about every day? Is that something that you're praying about? Or are you, well, yeah, back in the day, please. What back in the day? Back in the day is back in the day. My best is yet to come. That's the way I see life. Are you with me? I'm not even 80 yet. You are not 80 yet. Come on. Where's the vision? Where's the fire? Yeah, I understand. Yeah, the older you are now, the faster you used to be. But that's okay. But it's all in the mind. It's all up here. You know, I love the youth. I love these kids. My reason is bring it on. Oh, you think you know stuff? Okay, come on. That's my attitude. Because I'm a lot older than they are. I'm a lot wiser. I've learned a few tricks that they are yet to learn yet. That life is going to show them when they're 35 and when they're 40. I've already been through that. Are you with me? So I'm saying to those of us that are older, we have a lot to offer. Amen? If they think you're dead, they're going to bury you. Amen? You need to speak, hey, I'm here. Look at me. Look at what I'm doing for the Lord. Amen, church? Amen. God did not create us just to get up and go to work. Please. That's child's play. God put us on this earth to make a difference. Just like he put Moses on this earth to make a difference. 40 years in exile. And then God says, you know what? You need to go back to those guys and you need to deliver my people in Exodus chapter 3. Again, we all know about Pharaoh's stubbornness. He wouldn't let them go. He tried to fight it. But a strong hand compelled him. We all know about the 10 plagues. You see, the question, brothers and sisters, always is, what are we going to do while all this stuff is going on? Are you going to be faithful? Are you going to be patient? See, what happens is, when we try and run ahead of God, we take matters into our own hands. We make rash and foolish decisions. And the amazing thing is, you know, again, God is not going to step in and bail you out. I'm sorry. You want to drive your car off a cliff? He's not going to stop you. And then, you know, we make rash decisions because we're in a hurry. Because we feel, I need this, I deserve this. So let me just go ahead and do it. And then we start crying and we start blaming God for not stopping us. Well, what's up? Well, I'm upset. God didn't stop me. Hello? What Bible have you been reading? God is not going to stop you. You want to do something foolish? He will let you do it. Amen? But you see, you and I have to be patient. We got to trust Him. We got to hold on to the Scriptures. Because everything will happen in its time. Amen? In its time. I remember coming to this country to go to school back in 1980. And like most Africans, I vowed never to go back. Okay? One of the ways, one of the easiest ways and quickest ways to be able to stay in America was to get married to an American. Okay? Now, all my classmates, I'm talking about my African classmates, in my college, decided, you know what? See that girl? I'm going after her. Her? I'm going to get married to her. Her? I'm going to get married to her. For one reason only. So that I could stay in America. Because you marry an American, you know, then you get residency, and then obviously later on you get citizenship. That was the idea. And it's still going on till today, by the way. Okay? Obviously, I was not a Christian, but I believed in God. I went to church. And I preached, what are you up to? I said, I'm not doing it. If I'm going to marry somebody, it's because I love them and I want to spend the rest of my life with them. I'm sorry. I said, this ain't happening. And it's amazing. One by one, they started going off and getting married. And as I'm talking this morning, not one of them, not one, is still in that relationship. Why? Because they try to take matters into their own hands. For me, I mean, marriage is a man and a woman making a commitment to each other for life. Because again, as a Christian, I understood that once I get in, I can't get out. Not that it's a bad thing. Okay, I don't want to get out. Amen? I love being a Christian. I love being married. But I understood from Scripture that, you know what? Once you get married, there's no getting out. And you got to trust God. You know what? God, help me. Lead me to that man or to that woman that's going to help me get to heaven. Lead me to that person that where our kids and our home is going to be glorifying to you. It's going to be a happy home. I'm not saying you're not going to have struggles. Every marriage has problems. The question is, what do you do when you're in those problems? That's the issue, always. But again, I didn't know how God was going to answer that prayer. I became a Christian. I went, to use the language of the day, steady with two different sisters. Not at the same time, obviously. I didn't want to get the wrong impression. Okay, we don't do that in the church. But again, it didn't work out. The fact that we're both Christians doesn't mean we're meant for each other. Okay? I mean, as a young Christian, I wanted to preach the word. I knew what I wanted to do. And, you know, the first sister I went out with, she was like, ministry? Don't call my name. Nobody told me that that's not going to work. And she actually broke up the relationship. And I was devastated. I was like, wait a second, we're Christians. We're supposed to work this stuff out. She said, Richard, you're not listening to me. This stuff isn't going to work. I said, how come? It needs to work. But you see, in God's time, obviously, you know, went over to Nairobi, Kenya, which is eventually where I met my wife. She was converted a year after we started the church there. And now it's been 19 and a half years we've been married. And I'm telling you, I can't imagine being married to anybody else. I honestly cannot. First of all, nobody's going to put... No, I don't think of any other person that will put up with me. Okay? Sarah doesn't play. I know sometimes you're sitting out there and you're wondering, how does she do it? Well, let me tell you how she does it. Because, hold on, I'm going somewhere with this. I've taken a little digression, but it's okay. I'm trying to make a point. You see, a lot of us, all you see about me is this. That's all you see. Now, I'm not going to kid you. When I open up the Word of God, I got something to say, and I'm going to say it. I got a certain period of time, so I'm not going to waste my time. I'm going to get up, and I'm going to flat preach the Word. If I got nothing to say, I'm going to sit down. That was taught the ministry. When you open up your mouth, you better preach the Word of God. If not, sit down and be quiet. Amen? Now, a lot of you think this is the way I am 24 hours of the day. I am not. Okay? I'm a really nice guy. Once you get to know me, I really am. Okay? I smile. Now, there are times when I'm preaching, you know, this stuff we're talking about is not stuff to smile about. And you know me, I'm coming right down the middle. I'm going to say it like it is, and I'm not going to apologize for it. Because one day I understand I'm going to stand before God and give an account. That is what keeps me going. Are you with me? But you see, I bring that up to say, you know, I have to wait on the Lord. I'm going to rush this thing and totally messed it up. I was actually praying while my wife and I were dating. God, if there is somebody else for this lady that's going to help her be everything you need her to be, then break this stuff up. And she was praying the same thing. And instead of going apart, we kept getting closer. It was an amazing thing. I mean, prior to us getting married, I don't even think we ever argued. She's saying we did. I don't remember. Okay? But my point is, you got to hold on to God. I mean, those of us who are single, let me tell you something. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Your prayer just can't be, Lord, help me to get married. What kind of a prayer is that? It needs to be, Lord, help me get married to a spiritual person. Help me get married to a man, to a woman who's going to take care of me, that our lives will glorify you, who would lead our family spiritually. That's got to be both your prayers. God will answer you. God will answer you. Because that's what He wants for you. You say, well, God, help me get married. Yeah, He'll answer that prayer. Oh, she likes me. Oh, he likes me. And then you're sitting every week getting counseling from somebody. That is not the life God designed for you. Amen? We got to wait on the Lord. You know, there's a verse I love in the scripture. It says, be still and know that I am God. There are times when you and I just need to stop and let God do His thing. Amen? Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And this is where I'm going to wrap it up. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. To me, this is very encouraging. Because I just need to learn to slow down and not be in a hurry and not run ahead of God, that God in His own time will bless me and will bless you. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 18. But as surely as God is faithful, Paul writes, our message to you is not yes and no. For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, who was preached among you by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no. But in Him, it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through Him, the Amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Now it is God who makes us both us stand and you stand firm in Christ. He anointed us, set His seal of ownership on us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Amen? Oh, I love that passage. He says, regardless of how many promises God has made, they are all yes in Christ. Amen? All of them are yes in Christ. But see, the challenge is to distinguish between promises that God has made in the scriptures and promises that we have made up in our own minds. Let me give you an example. Newsflash. God never promised that you will always have a job. That's not in the Bible anywhere. You can't find it. Now, he does promise that the righteous and their kids will never go begging for bread. Are you listening to me? There's a difference. Amen? As a child of God, the Bible says you will never go begging for bread. That you can take to the bank. But he never promised that, you know what? You may lose your job. Or you will always have one. Are you with me? The point is, we need to trust God no matter what. Whatever it is you're holding on to, just make sure that it's something that he has said in his word. God never promised those of us who are single that you're going to get married in your 20s. Or even in your 30s. I got married when I was 30 years old. In America, that's late. Believe me, in Africa, we don't get married when we're 22, 23. It don't happen. As a matter of fact, if you try to get married at that age, your family will sit you down and say, no, it's not happening. You're too young. You got to learn some stuff. You wait. That's why you see a lot of people getting married in their 30 and above. At least where I come from. 21-year-old getting married? It's not happening. Not in my culture. I mean, yeah, we live here now, and, you know, in America, sometimes that happens. But that's not happening in my household. I'm sorry. It's not happening in my household. It's not happening. I can just see a young man coming up. Oh, Mr. Richie, I like to talk to you. Yeah, what's up? I'm thinking of marrying one of your daughters. How old is she? She's 21. That ain't happening. We're not having this conversation. Come back in 5 years. I'm saying it right now. And it's being recorded. It's okay. Don't bother me. I mean, what do you know at 21? Are you kidding me? Now you say, well, Richard, I got married at 21. God bless you. But you know how hard it was, even at that age. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. All I'm saying is, we got to be very careful that we don't rush things. That we wait on the Lord. Amen? All the promises are yes in Christ. God has never promised us a problem-free life. It's not anywhere in the scripture. If anything, the opposite is true. Jesus says, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world, he said. It's the opposite that's true. You know, a lot of preachers today will tell you, oh, God is this, God is loving, God is gracious. You just trust God. God will give you this. It's all a bunch of lies. I've said it before and I'll say it again. All this prosperity gospel is not of God. It's of the devil. Because the opposite is true. Are you with me? Again, I challenge you. I've thought about this several years ago, but I challenge you to go study it out. Look up the word prosperity in the NIV. Every time that word is brought up, it's got nothing to do with money. It's always about obedience to God. Amen? Oh, they say, oh, God is good, God is good, and God will bless you. Have you heard him in the last several years trying to change the message? But people love that. And they can't listen to that nonsense. Amen? We've got to trust God. God cares about us. But remember, those blessings will come about. Those promises will be fulfilled in his own time. Now, why did I go through all this stuff? For one reason only. Okay? I left out the Red Sea and the camping at Sinai. Here's what happened. All these events were necessary for God to fulfill his promise. Every single one of them. That's the reason why you and I are able to read this today. And it reads this way. None of those events could have been missing. Guess what? For our lives, there are events that are going to happen in your life and in my life before certain things come to pass. And you and I can mourn all we want. You and I can be down all we want. It's not going to change the way he does it. That's the point I'm making. Now we need to remain faithful, amen? We need to continue to pray. There are things I still pray about today that I've been praying for years. And God hasn't answered me yet. But I'm not going to stop. I know it's going to happen. Amen? I know it's going to happen. But you see, God will make it happen in his own time. And that's what we can never forget. Why? Because he's not in a hurry. You and I are the ones that are in a hurry. Remember, God is never in a hurry. He's never been in a hurry. And he will never be in a hurry. We need to be still. We need to be faithful. We need to be patient. We need to wait on the Lord. And in God's time, he will give you the desires of your heart. God bless you all.
Let us pray. Father God in heaven, Father, thank you so much, Father, for the gift of life. Thank you for thinking about us before time. Father, your word says that you're not like man that you can lie, nor a son of man that you can change your plans, Father. Father, we live and we put our lives on every stroke of the pen that was put in the Bible, Father. Father, help us to endure this. Help us to show the love outwards, Father. Help us to live the life that we are called to live by your word, Father. Father God, we pray for those that are sick, Father. We pray for those that are recovering. We remember Julia and Bud Angling. There's also a couple of sisters right now that are going through a lot of just all the prayer requests that we have, Father. We hope that you hear them. Father, we pray that this worship service was pleasing to you, that everything that we said was acceptable in your sight, Father. Father, be with us through the day. Father, thank you for putting us in this great nation. We're celebrating the freedom and independence of this nation, Father, but we know that this is not our home. We know that our home is in paradise with you, Father, and we look forward to that. Help us to steadfast and keep the faith, Father. We pray these things, trusting and believing in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.